Well, it's great to be back with you tonight. Thank you for inviting us to come. This is my first time seeing Lismore. I've seen the sign many times driving towards Grafton and never had the opportunity to turn off and see what's here. Thank you for your kindness. My wife has never been down this way, and so it worked out that we could put off the start of school so she could come. And you've been very gracious, very kind to us. We appreciate that. Even though we come from Queensland, even though we win the state of origin year after year after year, you're very gracious and kind to us. So thank you for having us. Well, let's turn back to Hebrews 13. And I want to consider some more verses that followed on from verse 6, where we learned how to worship and serve God acceptably. And that was through expressing in practical ways brotherly love, whether it be in hospitality or taking care of those that are persecuted, avoiding marriage infidelity, avoiding covetousness. This will ruin our brotherly love. He goes on and says in verse 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate or show hospitality, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And then skip with me to verse 24. "Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen." Now here we have the final admonitions of the book of Hebrews, and I want to consider how to respond to your spiritual leaders tonight. This is anniversary. Your pastor would probably be hesitant to preach a message about how to respond to spiritual leaders. But I am leaving as soon as I'm done here, so I can do this. And it is in the passage that we've been considering. And I know that you would appreciate looking at God's Word. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to answer this question: how should we respond to our spiritual leaders? Our Father, thank you that we could gather together. Thank you for your blessing upon this assembly for these years now, and we pray for even greater blessing upon them in the years ahead. As you tarry, as you give life, we know there will be victories, we know there will be struggles and trials, And we pray through all of these they would look unto Jesus, their author and finisher of their faith, the same who's the one who's the same yesterday and today and forever, and through Christ have victory. Thank you that the just shall live by simple faith in the Savior. So use your word in our hearts this evening, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How to respond to your spiritual leaders. Let's look at this passage. You think, wow, this. I'm only going to touch a little bit of it, and you can read and figure out or ask your pastors. They'll be able to answer all your questions for you. But if we look at the context here of this passage, we see that three times this subject is brought up. Now, this subject has not been brought up before in the book of Hebrews, and that's about spiritual leadership. Did you notice in verse 7 it said, "Remember them which have the rule over you." Secondly, "who have spoken unto you the word of God." Thirdly, "whose faith follow," considering the end of their conversation or the end of their manner of living. We saw the same thing in verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." And then, near the end, in verse 24, he says, it's not verse 24, what verse is it? Yes, it's verse 24. "Salute them that have the rule over you." So that theme is repeated three times, that we're to remember them that have the rule, we're to submit to them, and we're to salute them that have the rule over you. And I like to look at this as bookends. I don't know if you have many books at your place, but you have a bookshelf, and if it doesn't have an end on it or it's on the top of the bookshelf, you have to buy these bookends of some sort. Many times they're just metal, and the book sits on it, and you pile your books, and then the end you push in the other way, and it holds it in place. And as he finishes up this sermon on Hebrews, he puts these two bookends about our responsibilities to our spiritual leaders. And in between those two bookends, he summarizes the main themes of the book of Hebrews. Did you see those main themes? In verse 9, he says, "Do not get carried away with various and strange doctrines." In other words, endure. And the book of Hebrews keeps beating this drum all the way through, that those who are his will endure to the end. Don't turn aside. If you invite me back for your 70th anniversary, I hope that I see you here, just serving the Lord, enduring in the work of the Lord. Another theme that he talks about in verse 10, we have an altar. The theme in the book of Hebrews of the high priestly work of Christ. Beautifully brought out and exposited to us from the Old Testament scriptures about how Jesus right now is at the right hand of his Father interceding for us. And he touches on that theme about the altar and the Savior and the high priest that we have. Verse 14 touched upon another theme in the book. "For we have no continuing city here, but we seek one to come." And he was sharing with us in the message on Hebrews about the city whose builder is God, who doesn't have foundations. And he describes the occupants of that city. And he touches upon this at the end. The final theme he talks about in verse 15 and 16 is the same theme that we talked about this morning, about how to worship and serve God acceptably. Offer your sacrifices. What kind of sacrifices? The sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of doing good and fellowshipping and showing hospitality. These are sacrifices that are well-pleasing to God. So the two bookends are what I want to talk about this evening, is how should we respond to our spiritual leaders. So let's go and study this out. Let's go back to verse 7 and to 8. The question, how should we respond to those who are spiritual leaders? Well, the first thing verse 7 tells us is to remember them. Remember them. Be mindful of them which have the rule over you. Why? Why should you show respect and be mindful and listen to what they say and weigh what is talked about from them, advice they might give or counsel or warnings? Why should you take that seriously? He says they do three things for you. First of all, they have the rule over you. You know, God has structures of authority in this world. Have you ever thought about that? No matter where you go on the face of the earth, no matter what culture you go to, no matter what time period of in history you go in the past, go in the present, go in the future, you will always find these structures of authority. You'll find some structure of authority in the government. Okay, there'll be a king, there'll be a potentate, there'll be a dictator, there'll be a president, prime minister, whatever it might be, and on you go, a structure of authority. You find your place in that government authority. You'll find authority in the home place. There will be someone, often a father and a mother, the biblical pattern, but that's not always there, and the older one, and there'll be that structure of authority there. You go to the workplace, or if you're not old enough to work, you go to school. And there's a structure of authority there. There's the boss and those that are answerable to him, and it works its way down in the workplace. Or there's a principal and the teacher, and down it goes, works its way through. We understand that. But there is a structure of authority in the church as well. And you'll have a pastor and deacons or elders and Sunday school teachers and different structure of authority. You need to remember those who have spiritual leadership because they have the rule over you. That's just the way it is. And does that irritate you? Do you have a little bit of resentment? Do you chafe when you think you have to be an authority at home? Do you chafe when you think you have to be in authority at school or the workplace? I would suggest to you, if you're chafing, it's because we're rebels. We ought not to chafe because we're to be under authority in the church. I mean, that's just how God has designed it. They that have the rule over you. Look at the second reason that we need to remember them. They have spoken unto you the word of God. Now, in these times, there were not very many Bibles. Okay, they were usually held in a community place, and the pastor may have just heard from other pastors or missionaries or evangelists, or may have opportunity to study the Old Testament. But hearing the Word of God was rare, and so these men spoke the Word of God to you. The Word of God is another theme that runs through the book of Hebrews. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It talks about they wouldn't listen to the Word of God. In unbelief, they turned from the Word of God. And so these men are the ones that can give you the spoken Word of God. So you need to respond to that. You need to remember them. You need to have respect to them. They give you the Word of God. Where could you get the Word of God without a pastor and teachers in the assembly? Where would you go? Well, you might try the internet. Well, you find all kinds of things there, wouldn't you? You won't get it from the government. You won't get it in the education system. You won't get it in the newspapers. You won't get it on the TV. These men have been divinely called of God to devote their life to the study and the teaching and living and preaching of the Word of God. We sometimes don't appreciate that. That, you know, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing that God has provided. You need to remember them because they have the rule over you, because they've spoken to you the Word of God. And the third reason, because they are demonstrating a faith that you can follow. I don't know about you, but I am not an abstract person. I have to see something. If somebody wants me to try and make it out of wood or something like that, show me a picture, show me a diagram. And if I can see it, or if I can see somebody else doing the job, okay, yep, I got it. That's how I need to do it. But if you just describe it in abstract words to me, I'm not going to be able to do it. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you're one of the abstract people. You know, you get all these concepts you can visualize in your head. But the Christian faith needs to be demonstrated to us. How do we pray? How do we witness? How do we show hospitality? How do we give? How do we serve? How do we do all of these things? And those in spiritual leadership for you are the ones that will often give you the pattern to follow. Now, are they perfect? Are they perfect?
No.
No, thank you. In the chapter of faith, Noah, was he perfect? No. Abraham?
Nope.
Jacob?
No, big no.
But their example helps us today. These were pastors from the past. Spiritual leaders. And we look at their lives and we see what not to do and what to do. God has given us living spiritual leaders. And we need to remember them. Because they have the rule over us, they are sharing the Word of God to us, and they are demonstrating a faith that we can follow. Notice what he says about that faith. Whose faith follow. Whose faith imitate. Okay, that doesn't mean you imitate Brother Peter, have his accent, his mannerisms, his different things like that. No. No, you look at his faithfulness. You look at his love for the Word of God. You look at his concern for winning lost people, his care and compassion for believers, and that's what you imitate in your life. That's how you do it. You use your personality, you use your gifting, you use your age and your abilities and talents, but that's how you do it. Isn't it great that God has given us spiritual leaders to help us how to live the Christian faith? Not only imitate, but consider the end of their manner of living. Considering the end of their conversation. With spiritual leaders from the past, like Moses or Abraham or Joseph, you can get a bird's eye view and you can see how they began and you can see their struggles and you can see how they end. And they did it all by faith. The just shall live by faith. And you have a present spiritual leader and leaders. And you can look at their beginning, how they got saved and how they're going now. Now you can't see the end of the race yet. But you can see how they're progressing. And God will raise as he tarries other spiritual leaders. And so it gives us an example that we can see the whole picture, not just the event that we're struggling with right at the moment. Well, how did these spiritual leaders, how did they live for God in an ungodly generation? The answer is stated in verse 8. You ever wonder why that verse is just, there it is. I mean, oh, I wasn't expecting that verse. No, that verse is telling us how our spiritual leaders from the past and the present and in the future, how they will be victorious. By looking unto Jesus, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, he has been developing in this message the name of Jesus. He's told us that Jesus is the only Savior of mankind. He's told us that Jesus is the author and finisher of the faith. He's told us that Jesus has made a new and a living way directly into the presence of God, and we can come boldly before him in time of need. It's all through Jesus. He's developed the word Christ. He's the anointed one of the Father. He's the one who has gone to glory. He's the high priest. He's the Son. He's the one that's seated at the right hand. He's the one who's interceding for us. The same Jesus, Jesus Christ, he's the same. He's the same as he was for the writer of the book of Hebrews. He's the same as those who followed the Lord 500 years ago. He's the same as those that followed the Lord 100 years ago. He's the same today, those who follow the Lord. And if the Lord tarries for another 100 or 1,000 years, he'll still be the same for those in the future. He is the same. Those spiritual leaders succeeded in the past because of their faith. Your present leaders will succeed today because of their faith. And you can succeed today, no matter who you are, if you will put your faith and follow Christ. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But if you let things slip, if you be spiritual babies, if you allow a heart of unbelief, you'll struggle. But the faith, but the just shall always live by faith. So what's the first thing we need to do? Our first response to our spiritual leaders is to remember them, to be mindful, to be respectful because of the opportunity that God has given them. They give us rulership, they give us the Word of God, and they demonstrate a faith for us to follow. Look in verse 17 at a second thing we need to do. Second response to our spiritual leaders is to obey them and submit to them. Is this blind obedience? You say, oh, you know, this is pretty tough. No. No, it's required in God's structures of authority. At home, you have to obey. Everybody knows at home where your slot is. And that's what you do. Everybody knows at the workplace where your slot is. Everybody knows at school where the lines are and what it is. And so it is in the fellowship of God's people. Everyone has a task. We're all equal. The leaders are not superior, and the members or just attenders are knaves and slaves. No, we're all equal before Christ. But there are different areas of responsibility. People don't believe this, but I would gladly, in our church or business meeting, I would gladly be a nobody. I would gladly sit there and let someone else lead the meeting. I would gladly let someone else solve the problems and preach the message and things like that. Being a spiritual leader is not what you think it is. Being a spiritual leader is serving. with all of your heart. So we're to obey them. Why? Well, look at their task. They watch for your soul. Literally, they go sleepless for your soul. They're the ones that are concerned. You start hanging with the wrong friends, young people. And your pastor's concerned about that. He sees that. He knows that. He knows from experience that you are now in danger because of the people that you're hanging with. They can very easily lead you astray. And so he's concerned about that. Who else is concerned about your soul? Well, there wouldn't be very many other people. Your family, if there's spiritual people in your family, they'll be concerned. And if you have spiritual friends, they'll be concerned. But it's your pastor. He's watching over your soul. Look at the second thing. He's got to give an account. Pastors are not in the work of the Lord for money. Well, at least not pastors of Bible churches and independent churches, because there is no money. No, they're in it because God's called them, and that's what they have to do. And they have to give an account. Now, they can give an account that would be joy, or they can give an account of grief, a deep groan and distress in their hearts. Of course, one of the things of being at one church for a number of years is you get to see a lot of people come through. And some people, you see a picture of them and it puts a smile on your face. Because they came through and they're living by faith and they're serving the Lord and they're just going on for Him. And other people, you see their picture and it literally brings a tear to your eye. Because they had such talent and they had such opportunities and they threw it all away to live for themselves. I mean, I could tell you story after story. Just recently, a young man that was in our school, and then the decision of the parents was to withdraw the two boys and the third boy that was going to go to a state school, which was their choice. But we knew about the struggles the two boys at our school were having, and we surmised that it would be difficult for them. And sure enough, they got into high school, and we didn't see them at church anymore, and they ran with the wrong crowd, and they got into the drink, and, you know, all these types of things. And, it brought us great grief. It just, because this one boy especially, he had told us, he says, you know, I think God wants me to serve Him. And there he is, shipwreck. But, you know, God's not done with him. And this last year, about the middle of the year or so, after one of the morning services, he was there. He says, Pastor, I want to talk to you afterwards. I said, yep, that would be great. So we went in a room, sat down, and talked. He said, you know, God's been dealing in my heart for a long time. He said, you know, I was running from God. I was going to do my own thing. And then God did a number of things. First of all, He put me in an accident. He said, I was driving my car and the road turned this way and I'd been working lots of hours trying to make lots of money and I fell asleep and the car went straight, hit a fence, did a little damage to the people, missed someone who was walking there. So there was no great problem to the property he hit and he didn't kill anyone, but he wrecked his car completely. And all the money he had been saving up, he had to spend now to fix his car. But he knew who had caused that accident. At the same time, he had applied for a job, an apprenticeship. It got down to two of them, him and another fellow. It went to the other fellow. He knew it was the hand of the Lord humbling him. Third thing happened, he loved to play cricket. He'd go play cricket on Sunday instead of coming to the house of the Lord. They're having a cricket championship. He was on the team. The captain called him and said, Brendan, don't bother coming. We don't want you. It devastated him. But it was God's way of further humbling him. And he said to me, you know, I realize that this isn't right. I need to surrender to the Lord. You know, that caused both Becky and I to have tears of joy. That's what the text is talking about. That pastors, your spiritual leaders, are looking after you and they're responsible for you, and you can either bring them joy or you can bring them great grief. He was set back when I started to weep in front of him. I said, Brendan, we've just been praying for you. And it's just so exciting to see what God's doing. When I told Mrs. J, she said the same thing. She started to weep. When we shared it with the congregation, they had tears in their eyes as well. That's what it's talking about. Your spiritual leader. You don't have people that care and pray and are concerned for you like your spiritual leaders do. Submit to them. Obey them. Look at the third thing he says. For consider their welfare. Let me read that exactly. As they which must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for them. Hello? For them? For you. You lose out. When you rebel and dishonor and be hostile to your spiritual leaders, you are the loser. Look at the last thing for our spiritual leaders. We need to salute them. Well, that's not like I preached this message once. Someone in the congregation went like that to me. That's not the idea. Be on speaking terms with your spiritual leaders. It's often interesting, and spiritual leaders can tell when something's going on in someone's heart when they address you in a different way. Many years ago, we had someone who was in the church for a long time, always called me Brother Wally. And that's what everyone calls me, Brother Wally or Pastor Wally. He started to call me Wally. He started to call me Wall. And I thought, something's going on here. And sure enough, something was going on here. He was very unhappy with things, and he was pulling out. And the way that he was saluting me, addressing me, indicated that there was something amiss. Warren Wiersbe talked about being at a church once, and he informed the congregation that he would be resigning and going somewhere else. And afterwards, you know, people gathered around. One woman gathered around and says, "Oh, I don't see how I'm going to make it without you. I depend so much upon you for my spiritual help." And Wiersbe said, "Well, I guess I should have left a lot sooner than that, because you don't need me, you need the Lord. I'm only here to help you serve the Lord." Well, let's make some applications here. We need to remember our spiritual leaders, we need to obey them, and we need to salute them, be on speaking terms. If there's something that you're not sure of or bothers you or you heard, go talk to your spiritual leaders. Ask them about it. Many times it's just a misunderstanding that the devil's placed in our hearts about things. Here's question number one in our application. Do you have a spiritual leader over you? I meet lots of people who have no spiritual leaders. You know, they in the home and in the government, we have leadership. I mean, you don't have a choice of what country you live in. You don't have a choice, really, of what family you were born in. There they are. There's your leaders in your government and in your home. You can, in the government, you can vote them in or vote them out, etc. But that's who you got. No real choice. In the workplace or in school, you have a little bit of choice You don't like where you're working. You don't like the boss. You can try and find another job. You don't like the school. You go to another school. You got some leeway there. But when it comes to the church, you are totally voluntarily submitting to spiritual leadership. And I know some people who just will not submit to spiritual leadership. And so they claim to know the Lord, but they do not follow, submit, go under the authority of anyone. It's not profitable for them. I have yet to meet someone who's on fire for the Lord and really serving God and really motoring on in his spiritual life or her spiritual life who refuses to have any spiritual leadership over them. I just haven't found it. Maybe you have, but I haven't. Do you have spiritual leadership over you? Why not? If you don't, it may be because you don't understand these passages or you're just a rebel against the Lord. It's something you need to consider. Second question. Do you draw comfort from the truth that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Isn't that wonderful? We have the same Savior that Paul had. We have the same Savior that John Wesley had or Martin Luther had. We have the same Savior that C.H. Spurgeon had. And our leaders will come and our go. I understand that my spiritual leadership in Ingham is ending. But I know that the head of the church, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the church will just motor on just fine without me. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that comforting? It does not depend on a certain individual. It rests with the Lord Jesus. The last application I want to make is, do you see how important to the life of the church is the integrity of its leaders? We're in a great crisis today where many leaders of churches are not men of integrity. We are seeing, well, we saw the conclusion of the Royal Commission into Child Abuse. Their report will come up sometime this year. But my heart, and I'm sure your heart, was terribly grieved at all these occasions, and many, many times it was church leaders of some sort that were causing all these abuses and terrible things that were done. We have all seen moral failings in missionaries and pastors. So what do we do? You need to pray for your spiritual leaders. They need your prayers. They are not invincible. They need your encouragement and they need your prayers. And my heart's blessed by seeing, you know, what a fine couple God has given you. I know they're not perfect. I'm not perfect either. But I know God's hand has been upon them. You understand that. And a fine couple to assist. How blessed you are. Do you realize the blessings that you have? And then you have others who've been in the ministry and can be there to advise and help. How blessed you are. Don't despise the blessing. Don't not be appreciative of what God has given to you. He's set up the work so that it can go on and be a light in this community for years and years to come if the Lord tarries. How should we respond to our spiritual leaders? Remember them, obey them, be on talking terms with them, enjoy fellowship with them. Well, we'll be praying for you, and sometimes I get to see your pastor and assistant pastor down in Grafton. We hope to be there again this year. But it's great seeing what God is doing in this part of Australia. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for what you have done here in 7 years. We see your hand at work. Thank you for those you've raised up, these spiritual leaders, those that you've called to support and encourage and strengthen. Thank you for those that they're reaching out to and seeking to win to Christ. We pray that they would come to know you. Pray that you would provide, that they would be a light in this community that so much needs the light of the gospel. So we pray your blessing in this year before and in the years ahead as you tarry and lead and guide. Thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.